Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Lamar Graves, who is a volunteer at the Palms Nursing Home. How are you, Lamar?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. I actually haven't had anyone come in to speak on the Palms Nursing Home, so I'm excited to see what type of things you do there as a volunteer.
Okay.
Now, before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm married. My husband and I have been parishioners at Most Precious Blood now for almost 40 years, and we have two grown daughters who are married, and we have four grandchildren. Our daughters grew up in the parish, and my husband and I were very fortunate. In fact, the whole family was very involved in with our first priest, who was Monsignor Kinlow, in helping to build our beautiful church that we have now.
It is quite beautiful.
Uh-huh. And then he always told my girls, this is going to be the bride's room. This is where you're going to get married, dressed before you get married. And then we had Monsignor Thompson, and we also, we were one of the many families that helped in building the wonderful, big, large parish hall that we have named after Monsignor Thompson. And of course, now we have Father Bob, who's our priest, and we're also among the families that's helping to build the St. Maria Goretti Youth Center. And so my husband and I have always been involved in many of the ministries there at our church, but I've come to tell you about the Palms Nursing Home Ministry, which is very special to our hearts. And my husband, Gilbert, and I are both coordinators of this ministry.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, now, speaking of being a parishioner for 40 years, that is dedication. And as a matter of fact, my daughters attend Most Precious Blood Catholic School, and it's a fine school. They've been there for 2 years, going on their third year.
Uh-huh.
And we have been very blessed to be a part of that community. And they're really looking forward to the St. Maria Goretti Youth Center, where they will be doing the catechesis of the Good Shepherd in their school.
Yes, we had one of the parishioners come and tell us about that catechesis program. And it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's very hands-on, very mm-hmm. experiential, and the students learn a lesson mm-hmm. based on scripture, and the training for the catechist is quite extensive.
Yes.
So there's a good foundation there. So then now the Palms Nursing Home, you coordinate the volunteers there, Most Precious Blood?
Yes.
Okay.
My husband and I both coordinate the group of people that we have. There's about, from 18 to 20 members in our ministry, and most of our teams have 2 to 3 members, and they will get to serve only like about once every 6 weeks.
Okay.
That they'll have to go to the nursing home. But so we have teams, and these teams are involved in having a communion service when they go for the Catholic residents, where they will distribute communion to the Catholic residents. And once a month, the one of our parish priests, usually Father Varquez, will come and say Mass for the Catholic residents, and they love that. Of course, the residents think that when we are doing the prayer service, they think it's a mini Mass.
Oh, okay.
And the priest will also, after Mass, will hear confessions,
okay,
and will anoint those residents that want to be anointed. And the extraordinary ministers on our team will go to the individual rooms to go and take Jesus in the Eucharist to all the residents that weren't able to come to the prayer service or to Mass.
So then your main ministry there at the Palms Nursing Home is as an extraordinary Eucharistic minister.
Yes.
Which is a very important ministry.
Yes. And it's also some like a visitor also for all those residents that never have family to come to visit them. We like to spend more time with them and talk to them and make them feel like they haven't been forgotten.
Well, you know, as you're speaking, it's reminding me of my experiences in youth ministry where I would take the youth to the nursing homes mm-hmm. and we would visit the residents. We would play bingo. We would have conversations with them. Some of them wanted to leave with us because they didn't yes. want to stay there anymore in the yes. nursing home. And it's very interesting that the smells are different. The environment's different. It's you know, the stories are different. And I even remember one time one of the residents had Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And we would go and introduce ourselves. And then someone else would go a few minutes later and she'd reintroduce, she'd say the same story over and over again. And my point in sharing that is that these are very sensitive situations where
that's right.
people might be ill, they might be close to their dying moments. Mm-hmm. Or they might have no family members to go and visit them, which is what you touched on.
Yes.
And
yes.
so what, when you go in, what do you experience? What's the environment? Who welcomes you? How does that work?
Okay. The extraordinary ministers that are on that team for that Saturday, they will go into the room and knock on the door and introduce ourselves, saying that we are from Most Precious Blood and that we have brought Jesus to them in the Eucharist. And the residents are usually very, very excited about receiving communion. Some of those that are not are the ones that can't receive nothing by mouth.
Okay.
So we usually pray for them, and we always have holy water, and we bless them with the holy water. But the ones that receive communion, they are excited about doing so, and some of them cry. You know, they will cry with you, and many times they will ask for a prayer because maybe they're having arthritic pains on their legs, or they start telling you about all their aches.
So they're in a lot of pain, maybe.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. And so we do. I know that we will just touch the part of the body that they're saying, maybe be it their arm, their wrist, whatever, and we pray for them. And I think this makes them feel wanted and cared for.
And that's all the power of being an extraordinary Eucharistic mm-hmm. minister. Mm-hmm. First of all, the priests and the clergy, let's say, cannot be everywhere all the time.
No.
And so you offer your time and dedication, and you've been trained to go into places mm-hmm. like the Palms and minister in a very special way.
Yes.
To people that are, like I said, either sensitive or ill or weak, or have never seen their family since, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any particular story that you can share without disclosing confidential information
okay.
that really just stayed in your mind in being an extraordinary minister there?
Well, through the years that we've been there, we've met many, many wonderful, fine people. But one that we remember was... her name was Maria Gray, and she was a little woman who was wonderful. She used to come and greet us, and then after the communion service, she would say, "I will take you to the rooms. I will go with you." And so I would call her our guardian angel, because she was just such a cute little woman.
She was there to serve.
Yes, yes. And even though she was a little old lady, she was wanting to serve Jesus. And then another person that I remember very well, it was just recently, one of our deacons, Deacon Garland Frazier, who was there when he became elderly and sick. And so we would always ask him if he would like to read the gospel, during the prayer service, and he always said yes, even 2 weeks before he passed away. He was still ready to do that. And I remember those two. And then, of course, there's been so many that we've had couples that are in the same room, and you remember those because the husband usually looks after the wife and says,
oh, wow.
Wake her up. She wants to receive Jesus, because if you don't give it to her, then she will be upset with me.
And I'll hear about it all day long.
I know. There's the same married
couple.
Yeah.
I bet they've been married just years and years, and finally they just needed a little assistance, and so they're there at the nursing
together.
Home.
Together. Yes.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Marriage, instituted by God, is intended to be a lifelong commitment between a man and a woman. The Catholic-based weekend experience is for married couples with a desire to enrich their relationship in a private, confidential environment, free from everyday routines, distractions, and tensions, and help spouses learn to communicate more intimately with one another. The opportunity is presented for them to take a new look at their marriage and rediscover hopes and dreams together, and to rekindle romance and revisit God's plan for them. The next Marriage Encounter Weekend with Rolando and Nelda Garza will begin on Friday, June 28th, and end on Sunday, June 30th. To hear all about it, call the Garzas at 851-8306 or visit mecorpuschristi.org.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Lamar Graves, and we've been speaking, Lamar, about your ministry as an extraordinary Eucharistic minister at the Palms Nursing Home on behalf of Most Precious Blood, and you
yes.
also coordinate the volunteers there to take Jesus in the Eucharist to
That's
the residents.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And first of all, this ministry is really close to my heart because, like I said earlier, when I would take the youth to the nursing homes, that would be my place to go. That would be the experience mm-hmm. I would want them to learn from, because we have adults who are vulnerable. We have adults who are close to the end of their life, or let's say, again, they're ill or cannot do for themselves, and they need other people, whether it be nurses, whether it be people
yes.
to converse
yes.
with, to pray with, which
Very
is where
true.
You come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first of all, thank you, and we thank God that you have the abilities to do this with your husband and all the volunteers there at Most mm-hmm. Precious Blood. Let's go ahead and talk about why you got involved. We talked about the nitty-gritty of the ministry, but I want to get more personal and ask you, why did you get involved in this type of ministry?
Well, because my husband and I believe that just because someone is sick and elderly, they shouldn't be excluded from receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, just because they can't go to church. And so we believe then that church should come to them. And we know that that they're very important to Jesus, and that he loves us, loves them and loves us regardless of how old we are or where we live.
Or what condition we're in.
Exactly. Even if we have a lot of gray hair, or if we have dentures in our mouth and all that, you know. But he promised also that he would never abandon us. And so that's why we are there. We take Jesus to them in the Eucharist, and we want them to feel the love of Jesus. And also a little bit of company whenever they're lonely, we're there. And I always tell them, you know, wait for next Saturday. Some other people will come, and you can get to visit with some new ones. And you never have the same people, only maybe once every 6 weeks. I don't know if they know how, can't keep up with the 6 weeks, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. They know that they will see some other new faces. And of course, my husband and I think about the day when we, the two of us, may someday have to go live in a nursing home. And we feel that we would be so blessed if someone from our church would come and bring us the Eucharist. I think that we would feel like all these extraordinary ministers that would be bringing us Jesus would be like Jesus in the flesh to us. And that's what we hope, that all of our ministers on our teams will make these people feel, that they are really seeing Jesus, just like we are seeing them, Jesus in them, that they will see Jesus in us too.
Well, that's very well said. And first of all, Jesus not abandoning us and being present in the Eucharist mm-hmm. is just a beautiful way to explain this ministry. And secondly, making sure that we don't abandon our elderly. Mm-hmm. Because they need us as much as we need them. They're the keepers of our history. They're the
yes.
ones. They're our ancestors. They're the ones that started family trees mm-hmm. and with children and grandchildren True. And great grandchildren. And like I said, you know, just in you speaking, I'm remembering a memory of visiting a Marianist brother or a Marianist priest, actually, mm-hmm. at St. Mary's University. And he would look forward to me coming every week to the point where he would get disappointed if I couldn't make it. So I can imagine the residents look forward to you all visiting.
Yes. Yes, they do. And we also remember their birthdays when we after the Mass or after the communion service, we always ask for who has a birthday, just like celebrating life like we do at our parish.
Well, that makes them feel special.
Yes, and we will clap for them and ask for if anybody is visiting, pointing and to all the members of the family that are visiting them. We ask for their names so that to encourage them to continue coming, just like you say, so they won't forget their loved ones who are in the nursing home.
And let me ask you, have you encountered residents who do not have any family nearby or who do not have anyone visiting them on a regular basis?
Well, it seems like that. There are a few, you know, okay. that never seem to have any, at least not on Saturday mornings when we go. Maybe they come on another day, but not on a Saturday.
And it is true that some do not have anyone, and mm-hmm. so it's so good again, and what a blessing that they're able to see you all and count on you all to bring Jesus to them. So not mm-hmm. only are they experiencing company in you as a volunteer,
yes.
but they're experiencing receiving Christ in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So wonderful. Okay, so are there particular times then during the year that you really feel you need to go to the nursing home? For example, Easter or something like that?
Yes. Throughout the year, we remember our Catholic residents at the Palms, like at Easter, on Ash Wednesday. My husband and I, or whoever is involved on that, whoever wants to go on Wednesday and help us, we will go and take ashes. And go
okay.
to room by room, you know, and distributing the ashes. And also for, because, you know, on Holy Saturday, no one can have communion. So we have to go on a Sunday. And we don't want to interfere with the other extraordinary ministers' families in their lives. So my husband and I will usually be the ones that will take the Eucharist on Sunday morning. And of course, on Palm Sunday, we will take them some palms. And through the year, we will, well, at Christmas, we work with our Lady Guadalupe Society.
Okay.
And they will come and bring Christmas carols, Christmas music. And one of the members of the Our Lady Guadalupe has a neighbor dog. It's not her dog, but her neighbor dog. And he does tricks.
Okay, all right.
And those Catholic residents love that dog when he rolls over and plays dead and she shoots him, you know, it pretends, and they really enjoy that. And through the year, we take them rosaries and prayer books, and holy water. If they need anything like this, they usually ask you, you know, I need this. Would you please bring me this? And we have those.
What a blessing. Mm-hmm. That's just wonderful. Now, what do you do when some of the residents are close to death?
Okay. Usually, obviously, they can ask us to pray for them, but their family member who is with them will come, or the nurse will come or an attendant there at the Palms and say, you know what, we need to see so-and-so in their room because they are almost at the brink of passing away. So would you come and pray for them? And I will do that, and my husband will too. But sometimes I will ask, I'll say if they have a parish priest, I'll ask the family, and if they say yes, then I'll say, well, why don't you call them and have the priest come and anoint your loved one? And if they don't have one, then I will go back to my church, and one of our priests will come and anoint and pray for the resident.
So then not only are you a support to the resident, but you're mm-hmm. also a support to the family. And I can imagine the staff. Yes. So how does that work?
Well, the staff is very supportive. They're always, we have a wonderful activity director. Her name is Sharon. We used to have another one. Her name was Michelle, and she was just as wonderful. They will prepare the room where we have our communion service or our mass. They will bring all the residents, as many as they can, because they want them all to come, you know, all of the Catholic residents. And so they do this.
And they come in their wheelchairs, their canes, or
their walkers, mm-hmm, and everything. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And they prepare the lists, one for upstairs and one for downstairs. And then they will highlight all the residents' names that have already attended, received communion. And so we don't need to go and see them in their rooms. And if we miss them in their rooms, I'll have little marks by their names, and I'll go and go into the dining room at the end, and I will say, "Would you
roll
mind?" and the residents will answer. You know, they're just like children. They'll say, "Yes, I haven't received Jesus yet."
Lamar, mm-hmm. What is the most important part of this ministry to you? If you can sum it up, why do you love it so much?
Okay. I love it because how special. We get to take Jesus to these wonderful people. And my husband and I remember the statement, the mission statement that we have in our church, and that is to be like Jesus and to lead others to Jesus. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're bringing Jesus to them, and we love this. This is so special to be able to do this.
Well, thank you for dedicating your time and efforts to being extraordinary Eucharistic ministers at the Palms Nursing Home. And we thank God for allowing you to do this for Him and Christ.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I say thank you every day because He allows us to do this. And I pray that, like I say, someday somebody will do this for me. Who knows?
God bless you, Lamar, and stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Have you not read that from the beginning it was not so? With these words of Jesus to the Pharisees, we are invited to enter into one of the great mysteries of life, a mystery we all struggle with, the mystery of knowing what is and what is not at the heart of our existence. With these words, our Lord directs us to enter a deeper way of knowing and understanding this mystery, as much as possible given the limitations of our broken nature. We often hear fragments of Scripture quoted by groups or individuals to promote not God's work, but their own. Such was the case with the Pharisees. They were attempting once again to trip Jesus and get him to contradict God's word. However, Jesus is way ahead of the game. In fact, we can almost sense him waiting for this particular encounter so that he could challenge everyone who, like the Pharisees, have eyes but refuse to see things as God created them to be, not as they would have them be according to their own desires. Notice that the first thing he asked them in response to their question, have you not read? In other words, why have you not opened your eyes and sought the truth? Why do you persist in seeking the easy path that leads not to greatness, but to mediocrity? Are you so happy with having less than what you have been given that you would sacrifice your very dignity? Perhaps this is a question we need to ask ourselves today. And in the same breath, Jesus goes on to offer the Pharisees and ourselves a very important clue to discovering the truth of what is and what is not, according to what God created us for. He says, from the beginning it was not so. His words offer encouragement to go back to the beginning, to remember what was to be. Every year on Ash Wednesday, we hear similar words, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. These words of Scripture challenge us to remember who we are and what God calls us to be, what He ordered our very existence for. We are also called to rejoice. Consider the blind man healed by Jesus. He was asked how his eyes were opened, and he responded, according to Jesus' own words about himself, He who is the light of the world opened my eyes so I might see. Jesus then told his followers, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see. Good news indeed for all of us who are blinded by sin and worldliness. The final challenge of Jesus' words to the Pharisees echo in our hearts, along with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us and opened the Scriptures to us? Jesus calls us to remember and to rejoice, but he also calls us to renew our lives according to God's word. The challenge for us is to accept the gift of his word, to read it and study it, and allow it to penetrate every fiber of our being. To do so, we must be open to receiving it at Mass and in the sacraments, and to listen for its truths in the everyday moments of life. May your sacred moments be graced with the fullness of God's word, and may you seek to renew your life as you rejoice in the remembrance of his love for you. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Lamar Graves, who is a volunteer coordinator for the Extraordinary Eucharistic Ministers at Most Precious Blood. If you would like more information about being an Extraordinary Eucharistic Minister, please contact your parish priest. Thank you again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.